The following podcast contains explicit language on explicit topics, and as a trigger warning, the following material contains topics of domestic abuse and violence. Thanks for listening to Afterthought, an anonymous podcast for sexually active and dormant women. I'm your host, Epiphany Evans, and today with me I have JJ. What up, JJ?
Hey! I don't feel too sexy right now, but I'm like, all right, let's find it. Let's find it to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, channel that sexy. How are you feeling?
I'm not feeling sexy, but only because it's been a hard week. And some people can do the whole like, oh my God, I just want really good sex after a long week. I'm like, don't look at me. Don't touch me. Matter of fact, don't breathe. Get out. That's how I am. Like, I need my space. And so right now in particular, I'm just like, ugh, I'm not feeling it. And I had pole class, which I was telling you about earlier, and you would think I would feel sexier coming out of it. No. Because then at pole, first of all, I'm just going to go on this rant. At pole, you like look at all, not your fault, like your body shaming yourself, but just like you see where you slacked on as far as self-care for the week. Because you got all these like girls, you know, the smooth ass legs, the nice little outfits, like the, and I come in, I'm the fucking, what do you call that? Sasquatch. And I'm like, oh shit. And like, you know, your vagina's in the air, just flying around. Legs are in the air, like just toenails not done. It was just a mess. Like, I need to just take the day. I'm just gonna take the day. So that's where my level of sexiness is right now. But we're gonna make it work. It helps that I'm in a long distance relationship because I don't have to worry about like dealing. So, but yeah, that's me. Hi everyone.
Excellent intro. I'm ready. I think all listeners are very ready. Okay. Let's begin. So yeah. Where does your sexual evolution begin?
Okay. Mine started really early. Like I was one of those people that developed super early, and then now I'm just like a small person in general. But so I would say probably around like 6 or 7. I don't really remember the exact thing or the exact moment. I just remember that like, this is really gross, but not really gross, but like I just remembered like the first like, oh, like masturbation feels great. And I would masturbate to like the little cartoon characters. Like there was like this one fucking video game. It was like PlayStation back then. There was this one video game. It was this white dude. What was the name of it? It was like Jax. But he was like fucking ripped. He had the hair. Like I was always into like the like bad boy type. So my little 6-year-old self would get off to him. I was just fantasy. Like my biggest thing was always just like big elaborate fantasies. Like I would just come up with like crazy stories and just get off to that. And I think the first time I realized like, oh, I can get off. Like I like these fantasies, and there's a really good feeling down there. It was like around that 6 or 7 year old time when I was just like, I can rub on my stomach and something is working. Like I can lay on my stomach and rub up and down. Something's working. So that was kind of like my first like experience. And then I've been masturbating the same way since 1999, I guess. So it's just been working. So yeah, that's about the time when I was just like, oh, you know. And also like I got my period super early. It's like around 7 or 8 as well. So I had just been aware of kind of that stuff. Even though the booklet that was to teach me about like when I got my period, my mom went off to Barnes & Noble and like bought me this sex ed book, but she stapled all the like conversations about like penis and vagina, here's what the penis looks like. She stapled all that shut. So I kind of was aware of what was going on, but I wasn't really sure. So it was a fun time being 7 and 8. It was great.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So she was sharing information with you, but she was still censoring all the information.
Yeah, like, and it's funny because when I became a teenager, like, the topic of sex was very open. Like, we went and got, like, she would get a pregnancy test with me when I was just being unsafe. But as a kid, I think it was because I was so young. Maybe it was earlier than 8 or 7, but to her, it was just like, it's too much for you to... Because I don't even remember if we had the sex talk. In her mind, it was too much to have all of that information in front of me, even though secretly, like, I had already, like, begun, like, you know, touching myself. I don't remember if I was actually fantasizing about being fucked that age, but, like, I already had those thoughts. So for her, it was like, well, here are the basic things. You know, you got your period. Here's why. Here's what you should do. Like, you're going to develop here. Like, you're going to be feeling these things, you know, acne, like, just basic, like, body stuff. But then when it came to, like, and here's the penis, and this is what that, no. I, like, literally snuck, I remember she stapled it, I, like, snuck a peek, and I wasn't fond of what I saw. So, I mean, penises aren't that attractive to me to this day. Maybe it's her fault, but, like, I'm just, like, I was, like, oh, that's it, okay. So, yeah, it was a censoring of, to her, and she was a teacher as well, so maybe that influenced it, but it was just, like, I don't think you need to be exposed to this right now. Never, like, I don't want you to have sex, just, like, no, you have time to see that stuff. So I appreciate where she came from with that. It didn't stifle anything, I don't think, but, yeah.
She at first was censoring, but then eventually she was with you buying pregnancy tests, like, what was that in between, like, what happened?
Yeah, honestly, I don't remember, like, the years going up, because I was, like, really, really nerdy, and, like, I was secretly freaky, like, doing my thing. I didn't really talk to her about that, but, like, outwardly, like, you know, I was, like, really nerdy, like, I didn't dress myself well, and just, I wasn't really into that. Like, I liked it privately, but I wasn't really interested in boys for a while, and then come, like, around middle school, girl, when I got my glasses off, when I got my first baby fat shirt, like, that's when, like, people started noticing me, I think. And I was also, like, I went from a private school to a public school, so I was trying to fit in a little bit more. So my sexuality kind of increased in middle school. But once again, like, I wasn't doing enough where she was able to see what was happening. I don't think she was clocking, like, oh, she says I should talk to her about that now. It really wasn't until high school when it was very obvious that, like, I was, you know, calls from boys all the time, like, blah, blah, blah. That's when it was kind of like we had a talk. And it wasn't like, do you know what sex is? It was just like, dude, what's happening? And by the way, I think it helped that I was on birth control from the age, like, when I got my period around 10 years old, that's when I started getting really bad cramps. I would assume now you would call it endometriosis, but back then I wasn't diagnosed with that, or if I was, they didn't tell me. So I got birth control. I was on the pill very, very early to control the cramps. So she never really had to have that whole, like, well, are you on protection? Because I've been on protection since fucking birth. but my teenage years, that's kind of when the switch happened. She was, like, a rebellious teen as a kid. So I think she was kind of trying to pass on that, like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, stifle your whatever. Also, we were really best friends. We'd always been really, really close. You know, my natural dad died when I was very young. So she and I became, like, best. I was, like, her support system. We've been besties. So come teenage years, it wasn't a matter of, like, mom, don't talk to me. It was just kind of like, she would just be like, you know, so I hope you doing the right thing. And I'm like, yeah, we're doing the right thing. I obviously hid some stuff from her, but it was comfortable enough where if birth control failed or if I was being stupid, I could come to her wide-eyed and be like, I messed up. Our big thing was, if anyone's from the Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, they would know this. There's a thing called the Wisconsin Dells. It's like a really shitty, like, think 19, a theme park that was built in the 50s and has never been updated. It's like that. Like, you go, it's like a water park resort. So our big thing was, like, we would go during the off season, she and I, and just, like, rent a hotel. And that's when we would, like, spill all the secrets that we've been hiding from each other. It's really weird. So, like, our teenage, it just started with, like, we would, like, I remember the first time we did it, we went to Applebee's. And I think I admitted, like, I was having unprotected sex and I got scared about something. And then that's when she was like, well, did you get your period? And I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, do we need to go get a test? And I'm like, I don't know. So we went to Walgreens and, took the test and it was negative, and she hugged it out and she was like, so now you know in the future, like, you don't want to deal with this anymore. And I'm like, yeah. So kind of off of that, every year we would go to the Wisconsin Dells and kind of just unleash what we've been holding back and all of that. So sexually, like, I wouldn't, I'm not a very explicit person with her. I'm not like, and he was up in my guts, but there was always like a way as a teenager to like go to her. And those moments was when I connected with her and all that. So yeah.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I really like to hear that. I find, I mean, I think most families, but to me, it just feels like a really white thing. A lot of times to hear about kids that can be so open with their parents. And it just should not be like, it's just
like when I had my first, my first and my last, I guess, herpes scare, she was the person that I went to. And it was just like, well, like I said, she and I had been very, very close. I had been in a relationship. So this was, what year was this? This was my sophomore or junior year of college. Before college, in high school, I was in a relationship. It was very secret. Like, she knew I was talking to dudes, but like, I kept this from her because it was an abusive relationship and I knew it was wrong. But we can get back to that. But like, I was in this relationship. The guy was obviously cheating on me. He was this hood dude. First of all, I'm like this, I'm not like, no, I don't know why I was fucking around with that. I had a car. I had a future. He did not. I remember, like, once he had, like, weird bumps on his dick, and I was like, I don't know what that is, and whatever, whatever. So fast forward, like, I'm in college. I'm in a relationship, the same one I'm in now. And all of a sudden, I just get really, really sick. Like, I thought it was because I was wearing a lot of, like, I was dancing that summer, and I was wearing a lot of spandex. And, like, it was a little itchy down there, and I'm like, oh, God, like, I'm just not being hygienic or whatever. And then it went into, like, this weird, like, I felt, like, I had flu-like symptoms. And then, like, it got really itchy down there, and then it got, like, very painful down there. And so I went to the doctor. My mom took me, and we're just like, I don't know what this is. It's crazy. And I get the worst – I get this guy who, like, takes a look, and he's talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, I did some research. It could be this – I guess it was, like, there's some, like – it's not a herpes. It's like a version of a sore that comes from just like wearing a lot of like tight clothing or like whatever. And I was like, yeah, maybe it's that. He looks down there. And he's just like, it's herpes. And I'm like, okay. And he doesn't even like care that I'm just like, the nurse is looking at me like, oh, poor thing. And he's like, yep, it's probably herpes. Don't worry about it. Two out of three people get it. So don't worry about it. All right, go ahead. And I'm just like in shell shock. And I go out into the car. I go out to my mom who's in the lobby and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'll tell you later. We get into the car. I'm like, he says it's herpes. And then she's just like, okay. She's like, well, everybody got some shit. She was like, listen, like, cause she was raised in the 70s and 80s. And she was like, I mean, like, my friends have gotten shit before. Like, you know, you take your shit, you take your medicine and you move on. Like, if that's what it is, it's fine. I got test results back later. They said it wasn't. It may have been, and it could have been dormant by the time they tested it, but I'm going to say it's not. But it was nice to have that, like, support, like, through those questions and, like, those scares that we're all going to have. Like, it was nice to have that situation, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Were you crying?
Yeah. Yeah, I was crying. And she was kind of like, she was not looking at me like I was crazy, but, like, she was just kind of like, you don't have any reason to cry. Like, you're not... she kept emphasizing, like, you're not dirty. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, if you have herpes, like, it doesn't mean shit. Like, what are you crying about? You're still the same person. I still love you the same way. You know, if your boyfriend doesn't want to be with you anymore, that's his fucking problem. But everyone has some shit, she kept saying. Like, she kept saying, like, everyone has either been scared of some shit, had some shit, or been exposed to some shit. So there's no reason for you to be this upset. Which is kind of like, it felt harsh in the moment. But, like, thinking back on it, I'm like, yeah, no, that's... it's actually what I needed to hear, because it's like, you're right. Like, I'm not fucking disgusting after that. You know what I mean?
How beautiful. How supportive.
Yeah, yeah, she's great.
Aww, I'll have to have her on the show.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's been my experience. It's been heavily shaped by my mom and, you know, all of that. So, it's been good.
So, you were saying in high school you were in a relationship that proved to be abusive. How did you find yourself in that?
You know, growing up, I wasn't really interested in boys, which they were boys at the time. And I didn't really know, the relationships that I had seen around me weren't really indicative of, here's what positive relationships look like. Here's when you know a man is into, or a boy is into you, not just for your body or whatever, whatever. So when I was like blossoming or whatever you want to call it in high school, it was kind of like, oh, these guys are into me. Cause like, I realized the control that I had over men because of how I looked and because of they wanted to fuck, basically. So this guy, but I was still kind of surprised about it because I've always been very nerdy. So it was like, oh, little old me. So this dude, first of all, I was 15. I think I was going to my sophomore year or whatever. It was like when I first got my first Facebook page or the same, my first Facebook page. He hit me up on Facebook and it was just like, oh, like, and he was an older guy, which is already like red flag. He was 17. I was 15. And I'm like, those 2 years are a huge fucking difference. Like, you should never be, it's weird. So he hit me up on Facebook. We had been talking on Facebook and I had really enjoyed just like having that constant attention from someone. Because I was still, excuse me, I was still like, oh, wow. Someone's into me, like, oh my God, like, men like me now. And it was just, like, constant attention. My dumbass, he, after a while of messaging, he would send me all these sweet nothings, like, you're just beautiful, like, I'm already in love with you, like, you know, let's meet up. So the first time we met up was at the McDonald's by my house, which is so fucking lame, but I'm 15, whatever, and we do. It's great, like, honestly, like, despite the terribleness, he was a great person, like, I loved his attention. Like, he was funny. We clicked. Like, I felt mature because he was 17. He treated me like, older. Like, he respected my body. Like, all that stuff. So that's kind of how it started. I think it was just a matter of being very naive and really not understanding what a safe and good relationship looks like. To me, it was just about, you know, I'm getting the attention. Great. And he's saying nice things. That's perfectly enough, obviously. And so when the abusive stuff started to happen, it didn't happen right away. It was a very, very slow trickle into things that, you know, kind of emotional, sexual, just things that, like, I was so far in as far as, like, this guy is a person that wants me and only me that I had missed all the signs. I didn't see it as abusive during that time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, that relationship very much so influenced this relationship that I've been in for 6 years as far as, like, sexual things and, like, confidence and all that. So that relationship, sadly, while I had a great upbringing as far as, like, supportiveness and, like, being there, that relationship kind of shattered everything because it was my first experience. He was my first relationship, all of that. And it kind of shaped what I thought that stuff was after so many years of positive support.
You said you had a relationship in high school and then another in college.
Yeah.
Are you regularly in relationships? Are you ever a free agent?
Apparently, no. I mean, like, it's weird because, like, when people meet me, it's just like, they have this perception that I'm just like this very, like, I'll just fuck. And, you know, I probably would, honestly. I don't know how I end up always being in relationships. Like, I don't actively seek it out. So after college, after this high school dude, I mean, we can go down the rabbit hole of what he did. But at the very end, the icing of the cake was he threatened to kill me at my graduation. And he showed up at my, because I was like, he wasn't going anywhere. And I was about to graduate and go to college. And I was very excited, obviously. And he was jealous. And he was just like, you want to leave me? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just going to fucking kill you at graduation. Because I was like, listen, when I'm gone, like, we're not together anymore. This is stupid. He was just, like, he would pretend, like, if I was trying to break up with him, he would, like, pretend to kill himself over the phone. Like, I remember, like, my ACT night. Fucking ACTs. I was just like, you know, I have to go. I have to study. I have to sleep, actually. And, like, he, like, I don't know if he actually did it, but, like, he pretended to choke, like, he was pressing a knife to his throat. Just, like, things like that. That's what I was kind of wrapped up in. I'm just like, oh, God. Like, I should have spoken up about it. I didn't because I don't know why. I'm the kind of person that doesn't want to burden other people with my problems. Mm-hmm. And so I just, like, kept that shit in, which meant it lasted longer than it needed to. But thank God that's over.
Wow. I'm so, so sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. We're with a good person now, you know. So when I went to college, I was just like, this is a fresh start. Like, I don't know what to expect. Like, I hadn't had good sex. Like, I'm just like, I just want to try things out. I don't know how I ended up in this relationship. Like, I had a one-night stand. Terrible. I talked to a few different guys. Like, you know, I didn't sleep around that much just because I'm more of a, like, let me build an intense, like, thing and then I'll sleep with you type thing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So this dude that I'm with now, it was like he was the good boy of our school. I went to a predominantly white college, and all the black people stayed in one dorm, and a lot of them knew each other because they were in a program that kind of like fostered the kids through like their middle and high school age and then got them to college. A lot of them knew each other. He was like the, like, everyone loved him. He was like, I don't want to say pure, but like, you know, hadn't had any girlfriends, very studious, very focused, like great dancer, very popular, but like never, like didn't have sex before. It was just like the perfect, I don't know. And I don't know what, I honestly, like if you ask him, I'm like, how the fuck did we end up together? I don't know. Like, I don't actively go out to seek relationships, but I think what it was is like, I really love, not, I don't want to call him damaged, but like, I really love the idea of meeting someone who I know shouldn't be with me and see if they will be with me. So with him, it was kind of like a weird flirtation because my friend was into him and I was like, no, like I'm going to see if I can, because I feel like, you know, he's just nice to everyone. He's kind of cool. He's cute. Like, let me just see. And it ended up like, we were competing for him. My friend's a dude and he was like, oh, I think he's gay. And I'm like, no, I'm going to see. And we were kind of competing for him. Like, I literally once hid under my friend's bed to watch an interaction between the two of them. That's how like fucking creepy I am. But like, he was just like, let's see. Like, we both pretended to be sick. And then we were like, well, let's see how, like, he would make tea for people. And he was like, let's see, like, what happens when he brings me tea versus you. And so my friend pretended to be sick, and I hid under the bed to listen to my boyfriend give him tea. And it was just like, oh, okay, well, thank you. And then with me, like, he lingered a little bit, and I was just like, oh, okay, like, this is kind of cute. I don't know how it escalated. I think I'm a vibes person. Like, I tell people, this is really stupid, but, like, I don't flirt very well, but I'm very good at putting out a vibe or like an energy that like I'm interested in you and I want you, and I'll see where that goes. It must have connected with him because he asked me to the library, and I'm like, I don't fucking go to the library to work. Like, I barely do my work, but I went with him and did it. And then we kissed like 2 days before my birthday, and I was just like, so are we dating now? Which is stupid. Like, no, obviously not. But like, he said, yeah, I guess so. And here we are 6 years later. Wow. It's been a journey. It's so dumb, because this is like, one, and once again, that was informed by my first relationship, because with my first relationship, everything moved so fast. And like, instead of like taking the time to like understand, like, are you actually compatible with this person? Are they a good person for me? Like, let's date. That relationship went from like, boom, oh, you're wet, we're having sex right now, I'm a virgin, yeah, but you're ready, boom, like, blah, blah, blah. So like, with this relationship, I was just so used to like, oh, I have this feeling, that means we should be together. And so after we kissed, I was just like, well, so we're dating now, right? And he was like, yeah. So luckily it worked out, because it could have been terrible.
I think that'll provide hope to myself and many listeners. So
I hope so. Relationships are hard. Like, it's definitely, I mean, I think, you know, if it doesn't work out, I think this relationship was meant to teach me how to love and how to, first of all, how to have sex after mm-hmm. that high school relationship. Because, like, the journey it's taken me 6 years in dating him. Like, the sex was always much better because it came from a place of love and appreciation, but it literally has taken me 6 years to just now start to open up and be like, this is what I'm into, like, and I'm not embarrassed about, like, for example, like, he couldn't eat me out because the things that I was told from the first relationship, the first guy would say stuff like, you know, oh, I can tell, like, we took a break and I slept with someone else, and he was like, oh, I can tell because you look really dirty down there, and just things like that. And so, like, in the relationship, this one, like, I couldn't do things like, he couldn't eat me out, like, don't look at me, nope, none of that. And it's really taken, like, years for me to be where I am now, where I'm just like, okay, like, now we're gonna try the whips and chains, because I'm ready for that shit, you know what I mean? that's where we're at now, we're BDSMing it up right now, but it took some time, you know?
That's, like, true, though, like, you all are really, like, BDSMing?
Yeah, so, like, just like a part of my sexual exploration, like just like awake, like learning what I actually like, because like my whole life before this dude was influenced by like what my first told me sex was supposed to be like, which wasn't fun for me ever. Like, I never orgasmed. It was just like mm-hmm. two pump, chuck, and we're done. And then following, like, first of all, like, I'm not gonna just blame dudes, even though they do fucking suck, but like, we're at an age after, like, when I was sleeping around in between, like, dating him in high school or whatever, like, you know, we're young, we don't know, and I didn't know myself enough to be like, let's pause for a second, I don't like that, stop it. Mm-hmm. Some people do, I didn't. So now that I'm like, having my, like, awakening, or, like, in the past couple years, like, I got off birth control, and now I'm on, like, IUD. It's just, like, I'm no hormones, all of that. I'm just, like, what do I like? And the things that I tend to, because I don't really watch porn, but the things that I tend to read, because I'm that person, likes to read erotic novels, like a fucking 40-year-old white woman. I like the beauty. I love, like, the dom sub shit, and I always did. And so I slowly kind of just, like, introduce that into the relationship where it's just like, you know, I like this. Maybe you should say this. Maybe we can try this. And now we're at a point where it's kind of like, you know, that's the relationship that we're working to. We're not, like, perfect. Like, I'm not an expert. But, like, we're, like, really working towards doing that, like, as our, like, full-time thing when we see each other. Because I'm long distance now. But, yeah, so, like, you know, we've bought our toys, like, we got the things, you know, we got the leash, like, all that stuff now, so it's a lot of fun.
You talk a lot about your monogamy, but I am interested in hearing about a past thotty moment.
Yeah, a lot of monogamy, yes, but in between, this relationship, I've been faithful. The other relationship, not so much. So I had a lot of thotty moments while I was dating the abusive dude because he was cheating, I was cheating. But I think if I'm going to think of a thotty moment, it's probably before I dated this guy. I was in college and I was feeling myself, and there was this guy that, like, everyone was into, and I was into him. And so, you know, I gave him the eyes. I gave him the vibe because that's what I do. The vibe worked, or it was the ass. One of the two, probably the ass more so than the vibe. But... And so he was like, we were like talking, and then he was like, oh, you should come over. And I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm like, fuck this dude. Like, I've had one-offs when I was in high school, but those just don't count. Like, when you're in college, it's like, this is the major leagues. That's how I felt. This is the fucking major leagues. Like, do I buy my own condoms? I don't know. Like, what? I was on the depot. Like, fuck. Like, okay, let's do this. So I went to his house. First of all, I am a very small person, just in general, like, small. Like, when I've gotten waxed down there, I used to work for a body waxing place, and when we would do the Brazilians, they would test like, the new people on us, and so they would, like, comment, like, you know, do it here. I would frequently get comments that were like, hey, you know, she's really, really small, so you only have to use it. So just, like, vagina, everything. I'm tiny. This nigga was, like, 6'3", I had no business. Like, 6'3", and not tall and skinny, but tall and fucking huge. Like, M'Baku from Black Panther. It doesn't... No. Like, I'm old enough to know now, like, know your fucking limits. So, you know, I was ready. Like, you know, I had my Victoria's Secret. They used to sell these bombshell bras that would give you, like, two more cup sizes. So I was a size double D that night. Couldn't tell me nothing. So I went to his house, and first of all, let me just back up. I'm an adult now. I know that, bitch, you never take the bus to a nigga's house, even in college. He comes to you, at least. I got on the bus. I went to his house, and I was stupid. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. It's probably the wildest ride I ever had, and not in a good way. I was trying really hard to impress. First of all, he took off my bra, and the look of, like, oh shit, she lied, popped on his face. But he was nice about it. Like, but you know, it's like, oh, like, where'd the tits go? You know what I mean? Because it was just gone. Like, the double D's were gone. But it's fine. Like, you know, whatever. They were sitting up, looking cute. But then he started, like, doing all these moves, and, like, I'm a small person. He's a very large person, so none of it felt good. I think the worst was when he had me flipped upside down and, like, was doing this pile driver, like, WWE. The Undertaker has his move. I forgot what it's called, but he has you upside down, and your head is in between his legs. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And my legs are flying in the air, and I just remember, like, physically, like, it wasn't sexy, like... My limbs were flailing as he was thrusting, and, like, I don't know. I was trying to grip to his leg. It didn't work. and I was just trying so hard to act like I knew what I was doing. And I think the moment where I was just like, yeah, this is not the life for me, we had moved on from that move. He was doing doggy style. And I remember just being like, oh, my God, please come. Like, it had been at least 45 minutes. And you know what? No one likes a two-minute man. But I also don't need a 45-minute nonstop thrust session. I don't. I don't. Like, we can be done. You can get me off. Be done in, like, 10 minutes, and we can get Chipotle. That didn't happen. So by the fucking 80th hour, and he was hitting it from behind, I was just, like, in my head, I remember drifting off and thinking about, like, oh, like, shit, like, something about groceries. And then that's how I knew. I was like, oh, shit, like, you shouldn't be thinking about groceries when you're having sex. Like, please get off. Like, please. And he finally did, and it was terrible. And then, obviously, he didn't enjoy it either because he slept on the couch and I slept in his bed. So I'm just like, ooh. I probably wasn't a good partner. It's really bad because I'm just like, I feel like I'm a Scorpio. So I feel like it's, like, a natural thing for me to exude a certain, like, sex thing. But, like, if I'm not comfortable with you, I'm just a very awkward, like, I'm a very awkward person, and, like, I feel like my charm is in my awkwardness, and he was trying to go for, like, you know, big dick Dan fuck small college girl thing, and it just didn't go. That was probably, like, my most thottiest moments, because it was, like, I didn't really know him like that, but it was very disappointing. I'm sorry it didn't end in, like, and then he came over my face, and it was glorious. No. I went to his bed, and I was like, oh, he's not coming with me. And I slept alone. The end. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's that.
Damn, that's funny.
It's so bad. The story of my life is just, like, so awkward. I hope he's doing well, though. I hope he found someone that can handle the dick, because, no, I'm not that person. Wow. No. That, my thought moment taught me that. Like, bitch, don't. You know, like Trina, you know, I could spin around and keep it. No. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's that. I think if I were single, I would be much better at sex, because now I know what I'm good at, and I don't want to be, like, thrown around and all that stuff. And, like, you know, I'll bring my toys. You know, if you want to be dominated, I would love to do that. If you want to submissive, I could do that. Like, that's kind of what my thing would be now if I was just out here. You know what I mean? Because I feel like when I say I'm into BDSM, people are like, that's for, like, 40-year-olds. And I'm like, no. So I don't know if guys would appreciate that if I told them that.
How strange. 40-year-olds? What?
Yeah, like, I told some of my friends, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I dabble. And they're just like, isn't that for, like, old 40-year-old white people? And I'm like, oh, I'll just shut up and put my paddles back in my bag.
That's so wild. That's weird. Yeah. I haven't heard, like, people think it's like that.
Well,
that's,
you know, weird. It's weird because it was, like, that was a couple of years ago, but now, like, with, like, the whole daddy fetish and, like, all, like, it's been, like, a thing, yeah, where, like, on Instagram, like, I see memes all the time where, like, now the idea of, like, just the spanks and, like, the chokes and the daddy, all that stuff is, like, it's acceptable to, like, just be walking around and saying that shit now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now maybe people will be cool with it, but I'm like, y'all late, like, come on now. We've been getting choked for 2 years. Like, where have you been?
So for the third and final portion of the show, we're going to play a little game. It's like, it's like truth or dare, but it's called first or last. So you'll pick first or last, and then I'll pick a scenario from my list. Are you ready to play?
Can't wait.
All right.
Okay.
So first or last?
Last.
Last. Can you tell me about the last time you had public sex?
Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, let me think back. Okay, because what do you consider... This is not just PNV. This could be, like, you know, fingers and stuff, right? Or do you consider this penetration only?
No, I think anything where you could be caught.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as, like, being caught, like, anytime we go to the fucking movies is, like, that's, like, our sex time. Like, it's really bad because we always pick the... This is not nice, but we always pick, like, the handicap seats. Like, the ones, like, on the front... on the fucking, like, by the stairs. And for whatever reason, it's just, like, the exhibition thing of, like, he'll, like, start, like, touching my boobs and, like, all of that. And then it'll go to, like, full-fledged, like, hand in the shirt, hand up my skirt or, like, whatever I'm wearing, which is usually a skirt. And, like, just trying to see, like, how quiet we can be. That's kind of, like, a thing that we like to do a lot in the theater. Unless it's, like, we're surrounded by, like, little tiny kids. Then it's just, like, that's just creepy. But... Mm-hmm. I think the last time we did that, what movie was that? It wasn't Spider-Man Homecoming. It was some... it was, like, I think it was an Avengers movie. We only go see superhero movies together, so...
Aww.
Oh, yeah. And then if I'm thinking, like, penetration, it was in a laundry room back... Because this is... We've been long distance for a while, but this is back, like, when we first met in college. we did a lot of like pelvic shit in like the laundry rooms and stuff like that. But that was like actual penetration.
So you're out here.
Yeah, I mean, like he was a virgin, but like now he's like freakier than me. Like I feel like he was like inhibited, and now having dated me, not because I'm anything special, but I think he needed someone to tell him like, dude, like whatever you're into is fucking valid. Like, you know, I'm not gonna embarrass you. Now he's a monster. It's out of control. It's out of control.
Before we end this episode today, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. If you haven't tried BDSM, do it, please. But with safe people, people that you trust. It's really freeing. It's really opening. It's how I found a lot of my healing from my past relationship. Just because it kind of forced me to be open to a man, which I didn't think I could ever do again. So I don't know. I just feel like it's something that people should, I think we all have BDSM tendencies, as my boyfriend calls it. If you have a tendency, I think you should definitely try it. Like just dip your toe in it.
Fantastic. That's advice we'll all take to heart. And I do. It's really like a really, really misunderstood community. So
it's so misunderstood, and there's black people in it, me. So
thank you so much, JJ, for joining me today, for being so brave and sharing your stories. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope people like it and get something out of it.
Thank you again to my guest, and thanks to you, the listener. Connect with Afterthought on iTunes by subscribing, and on IG by following Listen to A. Till next time.